Okay, guys, welcome back to episode 5 of the podcast. We are back. It's been a month since we have been here in the studio.
We've all been busy.
Well, it's been a busy month. My goodness. The time since we've been away, Michael, our last episode, we were talking a lot about Masters predictions. Mm, yep. And we are now picking it back up after that. We have got a nice little run of content coming up on the podcast. We've got some guests coming up. So really excited for the next, call it wave or series or whatever it may be.
Yeah, we're what, a couple of weeks away from PGA?
Yes, yes. You're going down on what, the 16th?
I don't know.
You're the going Tuesday. Down, yeah, you're in attendance, hospitality. Yeah, yeah. You love it. You love a wee hospitality, don't you?
Well, true.
VIP, Michael. Yeah, excited about that. Kind of a bit of a local game for us, Oak Hill.
2 hours for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it would be good. I was in that neighborhood last year. It's so good. We need to go and play.
We definitely do. We definitely do. Oak Hill and Auckland Hills are two that you and I will play this summer.
All right. Sign me up.
Auckland Hills has been teed up. Oak Hill is not a difficult one.
No.
Little road trip for the lads. Love a road trip.
Well,
a golfing road trip.
Road trip's a bit much.
Well, you
I like
just
2 hours max.
You like the Maple Leaf Lounge is what you like.
Oh, true. That's it.
Bougie, Mike. Yeah, no, it's great to be back. Lots of good stuff coming up. Not too distant future. We've got our own Canadian Open.
Yeah, true. Yeah, when's that? June? Sometime in June.
It's like 10th, 11th, something in around that week. Really looking forward to that. First time at Oakdale Golf Club. Not a club that you know, most people outside of the regular rota of obviously Glen Abbey and St. George's, Hamilton, Shaughnessy when it goes west, that type of thing. Not many people know about Oakdale, but expecting them to put on a great show.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of some people were playing it the other week,
the media or event
this week. A friend of yours and I that kind of got Oakdale to do a Canadian Open. Mm. He's got his green card, so now he can travel into the country.
That's awesome.
So he's going to come up and play. And yeah, it'll be cool to play it before the event. It always looks good before the event.
The grandstands are up. It does look great. I mean, you and I played there together, and I tried to picture it. What's it going to look like? And, you know, I couldn't picture a Canadian Open being there, but actually at the media event, I'm looking at some of the tee shots and stuff like that. It looks great.
Yeah, it was properly set up. It looks... Yeah, I was a bit skeptical in the beginning, but no, it'll be interesting.
They've got 3 nines there, so they've got a bit of a composite layout for the tournament. So great news that Rory's coming. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
I think I saw Fitzy, Shane Lowry, and Fleetwood committed. You've got awesome. Cam Young, Finau. So yeah, it'll be good.
Really, really cool. Yeah. I mean, RBC is obviously a huge part of the PGA Tour. They obviously have a great kind of history sponsoring some of the top guys. So great to see that the players are still supporting them the way RBC has supported the PGA Tour over the past number of years. Lots of content. We've had a break from the podcast, but we have had lots of content coming out. The bracket is really heating up. The last couple of weeks has been pretty epic.
We've been getting some emails from some OEMs.
Yeah. I mean, everyone obviously looks for their own horse in the race to do well. And you know, people, you know, the ups and downs of, great performers, but this head, that one should really have, you know, won there. And it really, guys, it really is. It is just fun. You know, it's very much on the day. It's not really a reflection on which is the best driver of the year.
Yeah.
When you're pitting two against one another and you know, Matt being the tester, you know, it's obviously a bit subjective to how he's doing on the day.
And totally, yeah.
He's been working some difficult changes in his swing. They are really starting to bed in. Last week, not this Monday's filming, but last Monday's filming, I really noticed a big improvement.
It's good.
Yeah. The week I was away and you guys filmed, I remember texting you afterwards and I said to Matt, I was like, driver swing looked long, looked a bit loose, and I know he struggled a bit that day.
Yeah.
And then the next day, the next Monday film, I couldn't believe like his swing looked tight, short,
it's good,
really quick, great, making great contact. So, you know, that brought the bracket to life. Yeah. It really did. So, you know, people expect a certain level of performance from Matty, which is a bit unfair.
Yeah, of course.
He's not a robot.
No.
So he's going to have his good days and his bad days like everyone else. And he has way more good days than bad days. Totally. That's for sure.
I mean, but when you've hit shots or I've hit shots and you try to get that last drive and it's just like, I know. I can't find this at all.
Where did it go?
Yeah, and then you hit it. You're like, right, we're done. Headed that.
Yeah. So we already know one finalist. Mm. Tightlist TSR3 beat Stealth 2 Plus
so good.
In the best match we've ever seen on the bracket. It was an unbelievable performance. When he had either driver in his hand, I thought that's the winner. And it wasn't really until, you know, the final set of five with the Tightlist, I went, well, how do you beat that consistency?
That's good.
Incredibly good.
Such a good driver.
It is an amazing driver. It really, really is. And again, but my mind goes to, for Matt. Mm-hmm. And that's what my mind just said to me there. Great driver for Matt. For other people, there might be, you know, someone else is going to do better with a G430 mm-hmm. Max, or someone's going to do, you know, better with, you know, having great success again with Cobra, with Aerojet.
Yeah.
So, you know, for Matt though, that little bit of protection that Titleist tends to hold within, mm-hmm. from a spin perspective, doesn't tend to get too knuckly. And, you know, some of the other drivers are maybe deemed bombers because they do have the low spin ball in it. Titleist tends not to dip too low in spin. And the biggest difference for me on TSR and TSI was the spin doesn't go up as much.
Right.
Ball speed retention is a little bit better, and spin, the peak of the spin rate is being brought down a little bit, so it's condensed that window, brought the ceiling up, brought the floor up, the ceiling down, and it's a much tighter window.
Yeah, it's the first Titleist driver I've been able to play where if I miss it, heel it, little toe or whatever. Yeah, mostly heel. It doesn't kill you. You don't lose. I mean, obviously you're gonna lose hitting it out of the heel, but it's not detrimental to what other drivers I've used in the past.
Without a doubt. I mean, if you can use it, I mean, it's literally a slogan that anyone could use. It. That should be Titleist's slogan.
Well, that's rude.
Go ahead, see what you're gonna say.
No, I can't. I'll be beeped out.
PG. No, it's been good. Yesterday's video was my very own What's in the Bag. What are you rolling your eyes at?
What's in the bag today? I will bet you another steak dinner something changes by 2 weeks or now.
Well, here's the thing.
See?
What I've learned to...
I'm practicing eating the steak dinner.
How's your Wagyu, Michael? No, what I will say is, and I haven't said this before, is if a product comes out that is unbelievable in performance, I'm going to test it. That's what happened with those PXG irons. I can honestly say the intent for me was to play I-230s, and then I walked into the studio one day, and because I had done all the testing, I had looked at everything else, and there was nothing I loved the look of enough to make me not play the I-230s for the performance benefits of the 230s. I never once said that the 230s were exactly the iron I love to look at, but here were the reasons why: spin consistency, ball speed consistency, forgiveness. Okay.
You feel attacked?
I've got my tie horse here. So when the 0317 SCBs came out, I just took one look at that shape and went,
it is a nice iron.
Yep.
When Maddie did that video, we both looked and I was like, this is quite impressive. And then I hit yours, I was like,
I know. And then you hit it again.
Not for me. They're very nice.
So, no, irons in the bag. The one I think that shocked a lot of people was the Sim driver coming back in, because it's been on the bench for a couple of years, but in testing was the best.
But you still have a TSR3 on the side.
I know. I will say, if I'm going to put anything in the bag, I don't use TSR3 because of me, not it. So in all honesty, if I start swinging it a little bit better, I'm going to be actually better with a TSR3 than I am with the Sim. That's the reality. The Sim is a great crutch for me right now because I'm missing it a little bit low in the head, and it's really, really quick. When I hit the Titleist in the exact same spot, spin, there's almost 15, 18 yards of difference between them. When I miss it in that same spot, it's not willing to give that up.
No. I mean, we talked about it, I don't know, during the Masters. We're like, where are those high launch, low spin drives
that we used to hit?
Like, and you're like, yeah, you're right. Sim was right back out there, and it did exactly that high launch, low spin.
That's your fault. I've just came to the conclusion.
I'm just helping you out, going, you're quite chatty with the driver right now. Hi, launch low spin.
I know.
Game changer.
Well, I think it was my speed had went down a little bit, so I didn't have the kind of bomber flight that I had a couple of years ago when my speed was in the 170s, etc. So, you know, when my speed now is living more in the low 160s, mm-hmm. I need that launch at 13, 14, the spin down at 2100, 2000, something like that, to get the kind of 285 to 295 carries that I really want to see. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to be going backwards. I mean, I feel like when we're going to go on to talk about it in a second, but this new TaylorMade burner, the mini driver, like I can fly that thing 270. What do I want to drive? What do I want to hit my driver 280 in the air for when I hit the mini?
The demo arrives, doesn't have 1 minute.
I know.
In the studio, and it's in your bag.
Have you had a test?
I'm surprised it lasted. I mean, I hit mini driver last year. Yeah, it was good. It's just not for me. I don't need that whatsoever.
There's going to be people that have just heard you say that going, you are unbelievable with that thing. What are you talking about?
I took it out for the weekend.
I know you did.
Couldn't hit three balls of the right back in the trunk you go. So, no, I don't know. It looks great. It looks OG. The head cover is like, it's something you would find in a lost and found bin with that musky smell. Yeah, it's cool. It's different. And you hit it great. You really do hit it good.
It's good. It's good. It was kind of peacocking the other day, showing you like, look at this. Like, and when I cut it, I can get the spin to here. When I hit it off the tee, I can get the, you know, I get a couple. The ball speed was 161, 162. You know, I feel so confident with it. It's quite an amazing thing. I didn't expect to love it as much as I do. And
yeah, I think the Canadian term for peacocking is show off.
Peacock. So, well, fair enough. That's probably the right term. On to new gear, Michael.
Yeah, you showed me a video of it on Instagram the other day. We saw photos of it in November in Arizona. That LST Ping Fairywood, it's expensive.
Cool. We won't give away how expensive, but we can tee that one up, that if you're saving up for one, keep saving.
I would say it's very stealth.
SimTi competitor. Was really the first one that kind of had that, you know, weight down low, plate in there, heavy plate, and you know, bring that CG down, launch up, spin down, made of a certain material, and you know, all that sort of stuff to kind of be on the edge of ball speed from a CT perspective. You know, it's as quick as a driver.
The beauty thing with it is it's not 13.5. It's not 13. It's not 12 to 5. It's 15 degrees. You can still get it up in the air. I'm excited to test it because I use original stealth and I have no reason to change 3-wood.
No.
But it's interesting for
sure. Give it a run.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the unique nature of that Ping loft sleeve that you can go as flat as you can with that.
Good point.
So some people who can take advantage, maybe they kind of get the low lefts going a bit with fairy woods. Well, flat, low CG, quick, you know, with the kind of materials used could be an absolute beauty.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see, you know, for the PGA Tour guys who, for them, the price is obviously irrelevant.
$399.
How many of those put it in the bag?
You'll have one in the bag for sure.
Well, yeah, no, I very, absolutely. I mean, because that was the one thing I love my Stealth 2, my bonded Stealth 2 that the guys built for me. But the reality is that kind of material is not as quick as my titanium 72, and I just don't have that hot ball in it that I have with the other one, and I'm so in love with that little 5-wood. I know that the 5-wood wasn't the what's the bag. I looked at it last night and that's a change I'm going to get ripped for again. But you know, I was hitting that 5-wood when you were in the bay the other day, and that's in the bag now.
Has to be.
What's the bag's changed?
7-wood, I can understand. You've got that 4-iron that's pretty good. 4-hybrid, get rid of that.
See, it's funny you should say that. I actually feel like, I thought I said this to you the other day, the 7-wood's probably the one that I just go, I just can't quite get there with you. I think there'll be times 4-hybrid does go in and 4-iron comes out.
I'm a hybrid.
I know, that's the only reason you're saying that, because you want it. Oh, it's a 95S, it's UDWX. Phone Graham, get another one.
Well.
Honestly. If you need one word to sum up Michael Bartosiewicz,
here we go.
Selfish.
Oh, aye, very good. Rude.
Eden, for me? Have you something for me?
Oh, never hurts to ask.
It never does.
What about your new wedges that you posted?
Oh, well, and that's another thing. I was getting abuse online.
No. But those were in the making for a long time.
Long time. Yeah. They were commissioned many months ago. Yeah. A couple of months. Not many months. 6 weeks ago. I'd emailed Dill and I know how busy he is. And just asked, oh, I don't even think it was 6 weeks ago. It was probably 4 weeks ago. Yeah, I think it was around the Masters. That I'd messaged him and just said, AD, whenever you get to, I know you're slammed, obviously getting ready for the Masters. I'm somewhere around the floor in the priority list. But, you know, if you get a chance, here's some specs. And Jonah's actually going to post them to the TXG. Mm. So all the different specs of pre-worn leading edges, nice. Tour grinds, which softens the kind of sharp edges round. Lots of people are like, okay, we need a detailed breakdown of what the grinds were on this.
Yeah.
And then I was scrolling through Volky Wedgerip is Aaron Dill's handle on Instagram. So I was scrolling through his page and looking at all the different, you know, sort of stamping designs he's done. And he'd done one for a European tour player that was, I think, blue and yellow or something like that, very similar. And I thought, you know, that with the kind of IF and I've done the cool kids' names on them and Tracy's name last year and the year before. I just thought for this one, just do something a little bit different, but I think they came out great.
Yeah, they look unreal. Yeah. Nothing better than a bevel on a bottom edge.
I know.
So
I know.
Good.
Yeah. No, and yeah, exactly. A lot of people asking why, like what's the value of having that little pre-worn leading edge? And really what it is, guys, is that if you play that ball back in the stands, handle forward a little bit, you're not just tilting that leading edge down onto the ground to the point where you're negating the bounce, mm-hmm. right? So the minute the forward shaft leans forward 10 degrees on an 8 degree bounce wedge, you're into negative bounce and you're literally asking that leading edge to dig.
Yeah, yeah.
And unless you have really good low point control and have the ability for that club to be shallowing out, you're literally going to stick it in the mm-hmm. deck. Whereas that, you know, a term that we would use, you know, and titles would use, you if you read deep into their kind of explanation, their bounce is effective bounce. It raises the effective bounce when playing that shot. So the effective bounce might actually be something in the high teens.
Right.
Based on where that kind of pre-worn leading edge is. So for players who like to play that wedge, I mean, these are not just special treatment that I'm getting. This is wedge works.
Yeah.
This is available for you guys. And, you know, Cleveland do the same with their tour
rack.
Yeah,
they do. Yep.
Actually, Ping do the same. Mm-hmm. If you go in, and I don't think people ever utilize, you know, the Ping offer to do these different grinds.
Yeah. No, I mean, everyone offers it, really. I mm-hmm. think Callaway might offer something in there too, or they offer more of their, like, what John Rahm plays or other players play. Obviously, the artisan guys do this, and you can go there and do the whole experience.
Amazing.
It's worth it. It's worth it for sure.
For sure. PGA Tour is in Wells Fargo, Quail Hollow this week.
Quail Hollow, yeah.
Great stop. One of the best. North Carolina.
Rory likes that place.
Yeah. He's back.
He's back
after his little break. Good for him for taking that.
Yeah.
I think that was well needed. And I know he took a bit of stick because he pulled out at Harbour Town. But, you know, we talked about Matty and his swings and, you know, we shouldn't expect him to perform, mm-hmm. you know, at that high level all the time. PGA Tour players are humans too.
He, that
Masters is such a build up mentally, you know, the mental pressure, it's not the physical pressure. He's strong as an ox. I mean, I saw some video footage of him swinging this week and I've never seen him look stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, next time, if you ever see Rory playing golf in shorts, like look at the veins popping out the guy's legs. Yeah, I mean, I know he loves his Peloton and, you know, he's big in his lifting and stuff like that. A lot of, you know, deadlifts and these like squats and stuff like that, but he is strong as an ox. It's not physical, but mentally that is a tax.
Yeah.
Not just the event, the build up
in Augusta, like for him, just must be, when you see him in the media building, he answers all the questions, but you can tell he's like, stop asking me if this is the year. Let's just play on like we're not here and get it done and see what happens Sunday. But
totally.
I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't have his number. I hope he does eventually win the Masters, but there have been guys that have been pretty good and never won an X major like a US Open for Phil or whatever it may be.
I don't think he'll win one. I think he'll win many still. I think once he wins one, he'll have the monkey ball. It's like, I honestly think it'll be very much like Phil.
If he
wins one, I expect him to win three.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. I expect You know, I remember when Rory first came out and that on tour and people said, you know, this is the next Tiger. I never felt like Rory was the next Tiger, because if you looked at his even his consistency early on in the European Tour, he didn't win at a clip like Tiger won in the PGA Tour. I thought I remember saying to someone, I said, I think he'll have a career like a Tom Watson, a great career, a Hall of Fame career, but I never expected it to be a Tiger Woods career. Yeah, I expected it to be in totality 8 majors, you know, 9 majors, something like that. I never expected it to be, you know, 15 plus major haul.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah. So yeah, it'll be good. Strong field. LPGA this week.
Yeah, they got this like team event.
Mm-hmm. Quite like
I like it. They do it every 5 years, I think.
Is that what
I think it's every 5 years. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And it's in San Francisco this week. Yeah. TPC. Never played Hard it, but Park. Looks pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it. We need to get out in the West Coast and play a bit more.
San Fran golf is good. San Fran, no offense, San Fran people, not a great place, but the golf is world class.
Yeah, I think San Fran, I think if depending on the level of wealth that you operate within,
of course, yeah.
San Fran can be either magic or tragic.
Yeah.
Depending on what you're packing
in the wallet. Depends how high of the hill you live.
Exactly.
They say over there, climb, don't grind.
This week in European Tour, DP World Tour, they're in Italy.
Big event. That's where the Ryder Cup is.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah. So lots of conversation, because obviously Luke Donald's over there for, you know, preparing, you know, him and his team, and probably looking at some of the potential wild card picks.
Do you think
it'll
be a decent team? Different?
I don't.
Really?
I don't think it'll be good. I mean, if you look at it, I think it will be strong, but shallow.
Mm.
Right? So I expect, obviously, Ram, Fitzy.
Right. Yeah.
Who else you got up there that's performing really, really well? I mean, you're going to have Tyrrell Hatton's in the world. You're going to have, I think the Højgaard brothers are going to probably be in and around it. Then you look at some of the other ones, and it's like some of the names that are currently on the list, and like they're going to have to really rely on, I think, some strong picks.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you probably have, you know, McIntyre will play in it, hopefully.
I hope so. I mean, because he's defending champion this week in Italy, and I think that's something they've been putting on him. Like, are you preparing for the Ryder Cup potentially? And he's like, I don't want to be thinking about that. All I'm thinking about this week, defend, and, you know, if I play well, my golf will take care of playing in the Ryder Cup, but, you know, I don't want to put that added pressure on myself. But to me, he's the one I'm really hoping has a great second half of the year and kind of plays way onto that team. Because I think he's a really feisty competitor. I think last year when he played the Dell match play and he had a tough group, but and he took down Dustin Johnson, you know, he drove the 18th green. I mean, everyone made the big, you know, rightly so, it was an unbelievable drive from Rory, but McIntyre drove the green, you know, last year on 18 against DJ, and he didn't fly it on the green. Right. He kind of scuttled it down and fed it in, but he's, you know, still the same thing. And he's feisty. He'll love that environment.
He'd be a good pick.
He would be a good pick. He really, really
would. Or hopefully qualifies.
Definitely. Big news in the world of golf. Joe Lacava has moved on from Tiger's bag. Mike Marcevich is available.
What did I ask you the other day? Do you think it's illegal if you could give a player
a piggyback
while you're caddying for them? Because if that's the case, I'd give Tiger a piggyback around Augusta.
I don't want to know the things you'd give Tiger.
He doesn't have to walk. I was just, all right, here you go. 175 out.
Very good.
Stripes it.
I give you 225-pound dumbbells in the gym and you can't lift them. Never
I know,
mind,
but
Tiger
you're not
Woods.
Tiger Woods.
Exactly. You'd elevate your strength. So he's on the bag now of Patrick Cantlay.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully with a shot clock.
Yeah.
Tell him to pick it up. Hurry up.
Stick a rocket up his bum. Speed him up.
My head pro would tell him to get to.
I know. Have a word, Doug Rangan. That was soon sort you out.
Okay, they too slow.
Out the club.
Yeah.
So I think that's good. And, you know, hopefully it does help. Yeah, I think Lacava's a really well-liked guy. I think it will help Cantlay.
Yeah.
I really do. I think people will probably give Cantlay a bit more of a pass, but they'll kind of go, okay, Lacava's an experienced cat. You know, let's kind of see if he can kind of help him. And you know, I think Cantlay's probably right at times to defend himself, because, you know, it's only a recent thing, really.
It's
came on, you know, the people's radar at the Masters. He was obviously quite slow and this and that, but... I hope that goes away, because, you know, Cantlay's a good player.
Good player, stripes it.
Yeah, stripes it, absolutely stripes it.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've got a bit of a shortened time window today. We had a busy morning and, we're going to wrap her up for today. We will be back next week. We will have a guest in tow. So
Maddie will be back.
Maddie will be back. Yeah, he had some business this morning. So we will be back with the full team next week. Looking forward to it. More content. We're filming, as I say, the final. Next Monday we'll be filming the final of the bracket. So yeah, we'll dive into that, guys. Lots and lots more to come. We can announce, we can actually tease it out today. There is a podcast coming out. So Club Champion have a podcast. Cassie and Nick do it weekly, have been doing it for years. It's a great listen. A nice mix of kind of light banter, and they two are great together. Mm-hmm. And obviously golf and kind of what's going on in the industry. You know, we have our podcast where we kind of, you know, are into what's current events what's going on in our social schedule with the social content schedule with TXG. This is going to actually be bringing in the kind of four corners of the Club Champion company. You know, so myself representing the, you know, TXG side of things, or you know, kind of Club Champion Canada as it is now. We've got Club Champion UK, Jason McNiven, my old boss at TaylorMade, which will be a fun one to chat with Jace. I just can't wait to see people's reaction to when J-Mac gets going. It's going to be
honestly,
it's going to be comedy gold. I just want to sit and listen to him, I'll be honest. We've got Paul over at Pure Form, which is, you know, Club Champion Australia, and then Nick Sherburn, the founder of Club Champion in Chicago.
That'll be cool.
So it will be cool. We'll be diving into it, sort of Fathers of Fitting is what it's going to be called. And we're going to dive into all sort of topics and aspects of, you know, our business, ourselves, our profiles, how we all got to here, our kind of accumulative time in the industry, which is quite interesting because I don't really think we're four old guys, but, you know, we've...
Well, you are old. You're old. Oh, really? The rest of the guys are super young.
No, don't worry. I'll change your diaper when we're done this podcast. Don't worry, young pup. It'll be good fun. It'll be good fun. So looking forward to that.
Cool. Very cool.
Okay, guys, appreciate you listening and watching if you did. And we will see you again soon.